like to begin, I urge you to find your places. Take your seats. And we will begin the opening of this session. Good morning, everyone. I now officially call this session to order. Can you hear me? Yes. Try again. Can you hear me now? Yes. Very good. It is my pleasure to officially call this session, the 32nd session of the Commission of the Codex Alimentarius, to order. My first act will be to give the chair to the mic to the secretary, acting secretary for the commission, Mr. Tom Hyland. Mr. Hyland.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just some very short housekeeping remarks before we start the opening session. As the first thing, according to the rules of this building, we are going to watch a security video on evacuation measures in this office hall. Secondly, I would just like to say that we have interpretation in 5 languages. If you want to listen to the floor is on channel 1, English, channel 2, French, channel 3, Spanish, channel 4, Arabic, channel 5, and Chinese, channel 6. Also, I would like to inform you that this session is going to be audio recorded, and the audio recording versions will be made available to you on the website after the session. I will stop here. And we can start the security video now. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the FAO. For your convenience, located on the ground floor, you'll find a post office, bank and bank machines, a newsstand, bookstore, library and coffee shop. Security staff are on duty in the building 24 hours a day. A specialized emergency team is on duty from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and a fire warden is assigned to each floor of the building. The FAO security team is highly trained and prepared to help you in any emergency. Your safety is our first priority. Maps indicating the closest emergency exits are posted throughout the buildings. Telephones are located in hallways and conference rooms. Should you smell smoke, gas, or note the slightest sign of any danger, immediately call extension 33. The sooner security receives the call, the more quickly and effectively it can intervene. Better a false alarm than a belated alarm. If you're a guest with special needs, in the case of an emergency, please notify the control room at extension 53616 or 53626, where there are security staff specially assigned to assist you. In any emergency, leave the premises swiftly and calmly, using the indicated exit routes and nearest stairways. Please follow any instructions from the FAO staff. For your safety, there are three types of evacuation warnings at FAO. In the case that a danger has been identified and is not an immediate emergency, an FAO security guard will invite you to leave the offices and conference rooms. When only part of a building needs to be evacuated, this warning horn will sound in the concerned areas. When an entire building, more than one building, or the entire FAO premises must be evacuated, this siren will sound on each floor of the building or buildings concerned. If you hear these alarms, please do not use the elevators. Follow the signs to the nearest exit routes and use only the stairs indicated by the fire wardens and FAO security. When safely outside, please do not move vehicles unless instructed by the Chief of Security. Our team will be on hand to give you instructions and provide any further assistance you may need. Thank you for your collaboration.
Thank you very much, delegates, for giving your kind attention to this important information. It is my pleasure to invite Mr. Jim Butler, the Deputy Director General of this Food and Agriculture Organization, to welcome us and make a statement on behalf of the Food and Agriculture Organization. Mr. Butler.
Good morning, and welcome to Rome to a very anxious number of days for your deliberations and discussions. Excellencies, Dr. Hulebach, Mr. Slunt, distinguished minister, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of FAO, I would like to welcome you to the 32nd session of the Codex Alimentarius in Rome. In 1963, when the Codex Alimentarius Commission met for the first time, the population of the Earth was 3.2 billion. Today, I don't have to remind you that the population has more than doubled. At the same time, we face challenges regarding climate change that affects our growing patterns and our yields. In 1963, the global food trade averaged $22 billion a year. In 2006, the last year for which we had statistics, the total averaged $500 billion. So while the Earth's population has multiplied by two, the global value of trade has multiplied by 22. The first commission was attended by 30 countries. Now we have more than 120 members and more than 180 members in total. The number of countries involved in the food trade has also increased geometrically. I bring this to your attention for two reasons. First, to compliment you. Your monumental ongoing efforts that have kept pace with these changes to produce the kinds of standards needed to control the safety of our food supplies as it goes through more processing, more packaging, more transportation on its way to consumers. There is no question that the role of Codex has become much more important and complex than was envisioned in 1963. And secondly, to raise to your mutual consciousness the enormous challenges that still confront you as you maintain the momentum of your work. Each of you in the room is seated behind a placard that identifies you by the country you represent or your organization. You bring with you your national interest. You also bring with you an understanding that you are here to work for the global good. You believe that each person on this planet deserves the same level of food safety and food quality. the increasing complexity of protecting the global food supply has required increased preparedness on your part, required you to do your homework on the issues that will be debated and the emerging trends. During this week, you are slated to consider over 30 new or amended texts targeting the whole food chain. I congratulate you for the outcome of the consensus-building spirit with which this has been reached. Another issue that I would like to raise to your attention is the role of private sector standards. This is an important and very timely report. I believe that both the private and public standards have a role to play. The businesses that set their private standards are able to look at what they want to achieve for their customers and demand that producers and traders meet these standards while the Codex standards evolve in open debate. Transparency and inclusiveness in the international processes like Codex are gained through the offering of all stakeholders the opportunity to participate in the standard development process. In this regard, the ability of developing countries to participate effectively in this process is of particular importance. Many countries are now participating in a more sustained and effective way, sending the same representatives year after year and enabling them to be better prepared and more deeply involved in the process. However, more needs to be accomplished in this area. In fact, following a debate at last year's commission, you added to the participation of developing countries as a specific item on the agenda. I support this, and I hope that the debates will continue to stimulate your creativity and come up with new solutions so that Codex can really live up to its objective of having everyone involved in the decision-making process. All of this goes back to the matter of working together for our common good and with trust. Trust in each other and trust in the scientific data on which Codex, as the risk manager, bases its decisions. The relevant FAO and WHO expert groups are doing a remarkable job in this area. They not only reply to the request of the Codex committees for advice on new issues such as risk-benefit analysis, they also look ahead to emerging issues such as nanotechnology. One last point that I would like to mention. The Codex today being challenged in a new public domain in a court of public opinion that did not exist in 1963. Science and the prevention and the utilization of science is a hard sell. In today's multimedia world with YouTube and online blogs, we have new challenges from self-serving interest groups who have tapped the online public to their advantage, taking the challenge of Codex well beyond the scientific debate. I'm satisfied to see that Codex has started to work more on public awareness and communication in order to make sure that the real picture of the crucial role of Codex, what it is and what it does, reaches the public. Codex Alimentarius Commission represents 99% of the world's population. All of us together, FAO, WHO, the Codex Secretariat, the host governments, the chairpersons, the donors to the trust, and all of you delegates who have worked so relentlessly on food safety and quality, create this unique forum for us to debate, discuss, agree, and disagree, but always work to find a way to build consensus on how to better protect the health of consumers worldwide and ensure fair practices in the food trade. And your efforts are to be commended. We have 6.7 billion consumers on our planet, consumers who will either through the safety of their food or the improved economies of their country, have the potential to benefit from the decisions that you will make this week. And they are awaiting the outcome of your decisions. My warmest welcome, and I encourage you to visit our atrium to see the many displays. I look forward to hearing the outcome of your debates, and I look forward to seeing you later this evening. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Butler. It is now my pleasure to invite Mr. Joern Schlund, Assistant Director General, WHO, one of the other of our partner organizations, to welcome us. Mr. Schlund.
It's okay. It's all okay. I'm fine.
Excellency, Madam Chair, Mr. Butler, and the other FAO colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of WHO, I would like to welcome everybody to this meeting of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. WHO is, as you know, firmly in support of international standardization work that can help in decreasing food-related public health risks. Therefore, WHO has for more than 40 years partnered with FAO to implement the FAO-WHO Food Standards Program, of which Codex is the active arm. Following the Codex evaluation in 2002, WHO has taken increased interest in the work of the Codex and has increased the resources allocated to support its work, both in the form of financial and in-kind support. WHO has maintained its contribution to the Codex in the previous three biennium and will continue to do so in the next biennium, also in a situation where other work areas in the public health area are facing budget cuts. The World Health Assembly, the main governing body of WHO, is regularly following the achievement of the Codex program and expressed last year its satisfaction with the work of the Commission. The World Health Assembly also reiterated the need to continuously reinforce the public health aspects of the work of the Commission. WHO sees the work of the Codex as an integral part of its food safety activities in line with the provision of global scientific advice and the building of food safety capacity, especially in developing countries. Reflecting the importance of this area within the global health agenda, food safety is also on the agenda of the next World Health Assembly in May 2010. It's expected that member states will agree to a continued strong WHO commitment to food safety standard setting through the joint FAO-WHO Food Standards Program. At this year's Commission session, you will review the report of the evaluation of the capacity of the Codex Secretariat to perform its function effectively. This report thoroughly reviewed the current capacity of the Codex Secretariat and provides the Secretariat and its parent organizations, FAO and WHO, many valuable recommendations. This week we'll give you the opportunity to discuss and address the report's recommendations. We see this as an excellent opportunity to further improve the efficiency of the Codex. WHO is therefore, together with FAO, pursuing a more active engagement in the strategic oversight and guidance of Codex in order to continuously improve and strengthen its work. This will also contribute to improve to the two organizations' coordination of their budgetary cycles to better serve the Codex system. When we think back at the recent events of the past year, consumer confidence in the safety of the food supply has been eroded in many countries due to a series of food safety scares. While what is considered a scare in the press does not always reflect reality and does not always correspond to the distribution of the real foodborne disease burden, many of these scares have had international implications affecting the health of people in many countries. And, not to be forgotten, such events also often have had significant impact on the trade, affecting economies and also affecting, of course, economies in developing countries. There's no doubt that these food safety issues cannot be solved by nations working in isolation. Relative to food safety, no country is an island. Food safety emergencies, as well as food safety improvement in general, should be tackled at the international level also. To facilitate this process, WHO, together with FAO, has invested in strengthening two major activities undertaken to respond to the health risks posed by the increasingly complex and globalized food trade. I'm talking about InfoSan and I'm talking about the Codex Trust Fund. The International Food Safety Authorities Network, InfoSan, which is implemented by WHO in cooperation with FAO, continues to disseminate regularly information on emerging food safety issues. InfoSan was initiated based on recommendations from Codex, as well as from the World Health Assembly. The emergency component of InfoSan has expanded its mechanism to collect, evaluate, and assess intelligence reports on food safety events across the globe. The past year has seen several such events of international significance, including the contamination of milk products with melamine, the contamination of pork with dioxin, and the contamination of peanut butter and other foods with salmonella. InfoSan serves to strengthen the cooperation among food safety authorities in member states and helps them to make or take appropriate action in a timely manner. InfoSan is now also seen as an important element in support of member states in their implementation of the WHO international health regulations. New members have joined InfoSan, which now links food safety authorities in 177 member states. The Codex Trust Fund is also playing an important role in facilitating this international collaboration by enhancing developing countries' participation in Codex work. The participation from developing countries has improved notably during the last few years, thanks to the generous contributions from donors to the Codex Trust Fund. This increased participation will ensure the global relevance of Codex standards and will improve the consensus basis of the Codex process, we hope. We need to continue this effort and expand it so that it also addresses the capacity of developing countries to apply Codex and strengthen their national food safety systems, not only for export products, but also for those produced and consumed locally. As further guidance in this process, WHO sees a need of directing the work of Codex towards the issues of importance in developing countries. And we recall that this was one of the important outcomes of the Codex evaluation conducted in 2002. Still, we believe that a lot of work is needed to improve our activities. We need your innovative ideas and proposals to further improve the delivery of Codex standards. FAO and WHO continue to strive to respond to the needs expressed by the Codex Alimentarius Commission, both for the provision of scientific advice and for capacity building to assist members in meeting Codex standards. In concluding these remarks, I'd like to reiterate the importance and priority that WHO's governing bodies and higher management accord to Codex work. On behalf of the Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan, it gives me great pleasure to wish you all a fruitful meeting this week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Schlund. It is now my most sincere pleasure to welcome to our house His Excellency Mr. Bamakrama, Minister of Trade of Djibouti. Djibouti is Codex's newest family member. Mr. Bamakrama, please.
Dr. Karen Hulbach, président de la commission, monsieur le directeur général, monsieur le directeur, le représentant du directeur général de l'Organisation mondiale de la santé, distingués invités, mesdames et messieurs, permettez-moi tout d'abord de remercier la commission du Codex Alimentarius, à travers Madame la Présidente, Dr. Hulbach, pour l'opportunité qui m'est offerte de m'adresser à travers à vous aujourd'hui, à cette auguste assemblée que vous êtes. Mes remerciements vont aussi également aux directeurs généraux du FAO de l'OMC, de l'OMS, pour leur soutien indéfectible à l'égard de mon pays. Certains d'entre vous connaissent mon pays déjà. Je vais tout de même vous faire une petite description de cette contrée lointaine à l'entrée de la mer Rouge, terre d'échanges et de rencontres, comme nous avons coutume de le dire. La République de Djibouti, que j'ai l'honneur de représenter ici en ma qualité de ministre du Commerce et de l'Industrie, point focal du Codex, est un petit pays d'Afrique de l'Est qui partage des frontières avec au nord l'Érythrée, au sud la Somalie et à l'ouest l'Éthiopie, à l'est la mer Rouge sur cette route importante des épices venant de la Chine et partant vers les Amériques en traversant la mer, le canal du Suez. Notre pays est membre du FAO, de l'OMS, de l'OMC, ainsi que d'un certain nombre d'organisations internationales, régionales et internationales, comme la Ligue des pays des États arabes, le COMESA ou bien l'IGAD. L'économie de Djibouti est essentiellement basée sur le secteur tertiaire, particulièrement basée sur les services portuaires. La part des deux autres secteurs dans la formation du PIB est très minime. Mon pays est aujourd'hui importateur net de produits alimentaires, ce qui nous met dans une situation d'extrême vulnérabilité face aux crises alimentaires. Nous déployons d'énormes efforts à notre petite échelle pour arriver à une production alimentaire satisfaisante. Pour ce faire, nous avons même acheté des terres arables dans les pays voisins pour répondre aux besoins de la population et réduire l'impact des hausses des prix et des denrées alimentaires. D'autre part, nous avons développé le commerce de bétail et des produits de mer en mettant en place un centre régional de commerce de bétail et un laboratoire national d'analyse. Nous avons également mis en place une législation nationale sur la protection des consommateurs et la promotion de la concurrence loyale. En mars 2009, nous sommes officiellement devenus membres de la commission du Codex Alimentarius, conscients de la problématique de plus en plus complexe de la sécurité sanitaire des aliments. Nous espérons vivement que notre adhésion à la commission du Codex Alimentarius nous permettra de participer activement dans le dialogue et la négociation et les négociations multilatérales. Nous souhaitons également bénéficier des normes et des lignes directrices basées sur la science adoptée par la commission du Codex et adopté par la commission du Codex, afin de mettre en place une législation appropriée et la promotion de nos exportations en matière de denrées alimentaires. Nous comptons sur le soutien de la commission et de tous les pays membres dans nos efforts pour améliorer le contrôle de la sécurité sanitaire des aliments, favoriser la production et le commerce et commercer de produits de bonne qualité, et promouvoir le développement durable de l'économie de notre pays. Je vous remercie.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency. Our speakers have given us a very good and inspiring message. They've talked of great challenges and great changes. They've reminded us that food trade has increased dramatically during the time this commission has been active, and also that food safety awareness among consumers has increased dramatically. They've reminded us that the very important core values of Codex, the science basis of our standards, the emphasis on awareness of risk assessment, the development of our work through consensus, make us unique and make us strong and valuable. They've reminded us that no country is an island, that we all live and work together. We share the world's food. The important points made by Minister Bamakrama, Minister of Trade and Industry, remind us and bring very personally to our attention the importance of the two parts of our mandate, consumer protection and also ensuring fair practices in food trade. Because trade in foods, importing and exporting, is very important for all of us, but perhaps particularly for developing countries. We're all one family, and I'm glad we've had the opportunity to hear from these senior members of our family. Thank you very much to all our speakers. All of our speakers are, of course, welcome to spend the entire week with us. However, should you have something, other appointments, we understand, and we will take a break at this moment to rearrange the head table and arrange ourselves for the beginning of our formal session. Thank you. We'll take a break for 2 minutes. Don't go far. Delegates, please take your seats. We would like to begin the formal and official work of this session, which we will do whether you are at your country flag or not. I would like to ask the Secretariat Thank you, delegates. I'm glad to see that the new name badges are working as well as they are. You thought you were through with opening remarks. Not quite so lucky. I have a few comments I would like to make. Again, welcome to this 32nd session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Welcome to this house. Again, a welcome to our distinguished partners from FAO and WHO, and to you, distinguished delegates. I want all of you to feel comfortable and ready to work hard at this session. I have high expectations for our work this year, expectations that involve not only how much we can accomplish, although that in itself is important. I also hope that we can come together with a renewed sense of how important our work is to the world. People are depending on us. Whether it's a young farmer who's anxious about the safety of his child's food, or a farmer who is anxious because she can't get a market for her crops, these are the real life problems that should always remind us of how crucial it is for us to make progress. As you know, Codex standards are sometimes the only standards available to developing countries to improve their food safety programs. And important international organizations, such as the World Food Program and UNICEF, depend on our work. The good news is that we are making progress. In the area of standard setting, more and more standards are being brought to the Commission for adoption through accelerated procedures than ever before. This week, we will consider new work proposals on critical food safety matters that affect the health of consumers all over the world, such as new maximum levels for melamine in food and feed, and guidance that will help control disease-causing viruses in foods. Some estimates are that as much as 50% of foodborne illnesses are caused by viruses. And we are not afraid to tackle new, difficult work. We will also consider a new work proposal from CCFIX, a proposal to develop principles and guidelines for national food control systems, which will inevitably touch on very fundamental issues. With respect to outreach, FAO and WHO are engaged in technical assistance projects at regional, national, and international levels. These projects strengthen food control systems, train food control officers, and enhance food control laboratory capabilities. In other words, these projects put Codex standards into everyday practice. Despite these examples of progress, there is plenty of room for improvement. The strength of Codex is in its openness, inclusiveness, and commitment to consensus-based decision-making. It is true, however, that such open and inclusive discussion is not always the most efficient way to come to final decisions. But we must find ways to be more efficient without sacrificing these important core values of Codex. We must always keep in mind the human need behind our work. We need to feel a sense of urgency about speeding it to completion. We should stay focused on producing a useful product, a standard that is useful in real life, promoting health protection, and ensuring fair practices in food trade. We understand and accept that every country has its own interests to consider, but we must find a way to move forward with the best product for the most people. We must not let perfection be the enemy of the good. We need to reach out and get to know each other as human beings, rather than just as faces behind country flags and voices speaking country positions. You'll notice that this year we've instituted a change and your badges are different this year. You can now attach your badge to your clothing instead of wearing it on a lanyard. I believe these badges should do more than just offer us access to this building and to these proceedings. They should be a way for us to begin to build rapport with one another. The theory behind this change is this: for us to begin to build relationships and trust in one another that are necessary to facilitate the work of Codex, we need to take that important first step of getting to know one another. And it's easier to get to know someone if it's possible to know that person's name. And it is so much easier to learn that person's name when his or her name is easily visible on his or her right lapel or shoulder, given that that's where most persons' eyes fall when greeting each other, whether or not you shake hands. So let's try this small change this year. We think it will help break the ice and build partnerships that are critical to the work of Codex. Great challenges lie ahead of us. We must find ways to help developing countries participate more fully and substantively in the work of Codex and within real-life resource constraints. With all the new technologies that are available, we will be able to find solutions to the participation problem. We may have to accept that there may be no one single solution to this problem, but we must be willing to try to find solutions that will help. We all need to prepare for meetings so that we can participate more effectively. Participating in Codex means much more than just sending a delegation to a meeting. It means knowing your position well, as well as the positions of other member countries. It means being willing to listen to opposing views. It means being willing to accept compromise. And it means being willing to propose solutions, and not just to continue to complain that what exists now is not good enough. Our collective sense of urgency should keep our eyes not just on the problems of today, but also on the issues of the future. It is said that a good football player plays where the ball is, while a great football player plays where the ball is going to be. Think, for example, about the private standards mentioned already this morning that we will discuss this week. Codex has a unique opportunity to help private standards become more open and transparent to civil society. No one but Codex develops standards that are so scientifically devised, transparent, use risk assessment, and are achieved by consensus, and that give priority to food safety considerations. Codex standards are the gold standards, but they cannot remain so if they are not relevant and timely. And we cannot talk of private standards harmonizing to Codex standards unless we finish those standards, we produce those standards. This means we must all be willing to work together to truly negotiate with each other and be willing to accept compromise. This work won't be easy. Our path may be long, and it will be difficult, but I choose hope over frustration. We, the officers you have elected, the chair and our vice chairs, have pledged to walk this path with you. We are full partners with you along this journey. The U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, my boss, recently said, talking about the challenges he faces, "We will make mistakes, but what we cannot tolerate is not trying." I plan to keep trying, and I hope you all will join me. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'd now like to ask the Secretariat to make some housekeeping announcements, including information on receptions and so forth. Secretary, please.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The first thing I would like to say is that you've all seen it and you've heard it. The membership of the Commission has grown since its foundation, and it continues to grow. This plenary hall does not continue to grow. It has stayed the same. Therefore, in order to accommodate all member delegations and to offer them equal treatment in line with the core principles of the UN systems, all delegations have been assigned an equal number of seats in this room, one in the front and two behind. We do understand that this makes it difficult for some of the delegations, but we would like to ask you for your kind understanding. Second, the timetable, the provisional timetable for the Commission. I should have said that. The mobile phones, please put them on silent or any other means that doesn't interfere with the session. Thank you. Today, Monday, our session runs from 10 to 1 and then from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the afternoon, followed by a reception up on the 8th floor on the terrace of the FAO building. Tomorrow, Tuesday, we start at 9:30, go to 12:30, and then in the afternoon from 2:30 to 5:30. We do have the possibility for a night session tomorrow, which we maybe hope we won't need, but we have the possibility, from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. The same program would be on the Wednesday, 9:30 to 12:30, and then 2:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon, with a possibility for a night session. On Thursday, we shall meet again, 9:30, 12:30, 2:30 to 5:30. No night session planned for that day, because that will be the time when the Secretary starts doing the report, putting it all together. On Friday, 3rd of July, no session. This is the free day for the delegations. This is the busiest day for the Secretariat. On the Saturday, 4th of July, we will start adoption of the report at 10 o'clock, running through 1 o'clock, and then, if necessary, we have an afternoon session from 2:30 to 5:30 as well. There are a number of side events that will take place during the lunch breaks. You find more information on that in the document INF13. There's also a number of facilities which we have foreseen for delegations. There's an internet cafe in the library, and also there are some computers which you may use in the atrium, which are connected to the internet. The internet cafe in the library will be open from 8:30 to 6 o'clock. Then we have also on the ground floor next to the atrium in the flag room, we have a bar installed because the other bars tend to be quite crowded. And as we have lots of delegates, that could be quite useful. This bar will be open from 8 to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And then if we have night sessions, it will be open until 9:30. If I have not forgotten anything, I think that's all for me for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I have just one small note to add. We will be using two small notes, I guess. We will be using the timing device that signals to you, all of you, everyone who makes an intervention, that we will limit these interventions to 2 minutes. When this light goes on, I believe you have about 30 seconds yet to go. We have a very heavy agenda and a very excellent participation, so we will need to keep the 2 minute limit, and I will enforce it. So please keep to that limit. In addition, I believe that in order to help us manage our agenda and make sure that every item gets the discussion that it really deserves, we will limit ourselves to 2 rounds of comment only. Thank you very much for your understanding. I now have an announcement to make before moving to the first agenda item, and that is the one you hear at this time every year. The European Community is participating in this meeting in accordance with paragraph 9 of Article 2 of the FAO Constitution and Rule 2 of the Rules of Procedure.